This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Mickey, how are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. I have a journalism question for you first. How long do you think something is breaking news? So like about, I don't know, hour and 40 minutes ago.
These days?
Yeah. Robert Saleh got fired, and it's still listed as breaking news, and I get that. But like how long do you think that window is before you're like, now?
Yeah,
it's just
these
a thing.
Days, probably a couple hours.
Okay.
I mean, not everybody's paying attention, right?
True.
Although I guess if you have notifications on your phone, you have no excuse for not hearing it, right? But yeah, I would say a couple hours.
What was it? What was it back in the day, though? You say these days.
So I'm talking about before there was an internet, right? And before there were phones. Breaking news would last till the next morning.
In your face, Kevin.
Dallas Times Herald all the way.
That's right.
All right.
Now, the bad part is, though, when there's three newspapers and only one gets it, then you got to face the music.
Yes. You know what, Mickey? Let me tell you something. Because we used to be in the newspaper game. This is one of the most satisfying things of my entire newspaper career. The way I went about it, I was probably kind of a D about it, but we got asked a question by our publishers who clearly weren't in the loop about the stuff we put in the paper. And they're like, hey, the Dallas Morning News just ran this amazing story about this kid from Allen. How come you guys aren't doing stuff like that? And I was like, oh, yeah, can I see that? Took a look, just confirmed the name, walked over to our morgue where all the old papers were, pulled out an issue from 6 months ago. And I go, I agree. It is a great story. Showed it to him. And that was the end of our conversation.
Publishers need to shut up sometimes.
Well, here's a better one for you. So when we were in training camp in Thousand Oaks, the media all used one of the dorms, right? Each paper got a room, and the rooms were big, right? I think they during the school year, they would put like four students in these rooms. So and then the TV stations, the radio stations got a room. So our room was right next to the morning news, and you could hear in the morning if the phone rings, right, early.
Yeah.
So we had still had an afternoon paper back then.
Yep.
And the phone would ring at about 7 in the morning, or even earlier than that, probably about 6 in the morning, because they were still on the afternoon deadline. And it's like, oh, Mickey, the news got this story about such and such, and we don't have anything. Can we get something on that? And I was like, 6 o'clock in the morning, Woody, I don't know that we're going to be able to play catch up, right? But then you would hear the phone on the other side ring, and you're smiling because you know you had something that they didn't.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, got them.
That competition.
I love it.
Does that still exist? Does it still exist like that?
Not really, no.
A lot of friendliness, huh?
I was a Dallas Times Herald kid.
Yeah, me too.
Did you deliver the paper?
Oh, no, just that was what our... Oh, actually...
that's what you read?
No, we delivered phone books. I don't know if anybody has ever done that as we... I know, realize we haven't really talked about the Cowboys yet. I promise we will.
A phone book?
Yeah. Because at the time, you'd get like 11 cents a phone book. And I was a kid, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to be rich forever.
84 cents?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I thought it was a great job. Now, I guess we probably should talk about the Cowboys as well. I saw this stat in the postgame note sheet, and that actually led to, I guess, a different question for me. So CeeDee Lamb's had at least four catches in 38 straight games, which is tied with Julio Jones for the second longest run in NFL history, which feels, it's very impressive.
But second longest.
Yeah.
Jerry Rice had longer.
It's actually Michael Thomas, believe it or not.
Really? Okay.
At 43. three.
But, and it's just four.
Yeah. I would think Jerry Rice would have done it like 200 times in a row.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
But at the same point, it still seems like there's, especially in the second half, a little bit of a disconnect between Dak and CD. What do you see there, and do you think that's a fair way to put it?
Yeah, I don't know that it's a disconnect. I think it might have something to do what defenses are adjusting to.
Okay.
It's like, you know, you go into the game, you've got a plan on, well, this is how we're going to deal with CD, and it doesn't work, and he's already got his four catches. And you're going, okay, now what do we do? And maybe they're adjusting, and I don't know if the Cowboys are not adjusting or they're saying, okay, you want to devote that many people to stop him? We'll go to somebody else. And maybe that's why you see the other receivers, and maybe we need to do a study on you know, how those guys do in the second half as a combined group, you know, the Tolberts, the Turpins, and Brooks, and see how, and even Ferguson too. We can, and let's go with Hunter Lipke. So they've got other options. So maybe when Dak does his reads, it's like, okay, we got nothing there. Let's go over here. And that might be one of the reasons why it's happening.
Mickey, do you think that Dak Prescott and the other quarterbacks and coaches should be out at bars the night before football games?
Oh, no.
Maybe drinking a soda pop, right?
That's right.
I thought that was a pretty cool story.
No, that was a great story. That they had the foresight to do that, right? To actually think, okay, this would be cool to find out, right? And I think that's how well they know McCarthy. And, you know, and how close you are when he's the play caller and kind of taking care of the quarterbacks also, and to go, you know, look at a little bit of his history, because from my understanding, he'll if you give him a chance, he'll talk a heck of a lot about his upbringing and Pittsburgh. So he's a real Pittsburgh guy.
I know we talk about the penalties, and maybe we don't always agree with them, especially like a late hit here or there, but another game with 11 penalties, and like not all of these are judgment calls. Some of these are very clear, like pre-snap penalties that you see. Can anything be done about this? Like, I know we'll get the lip service of we're going to work on that, but do we just kind of have to accept that's the team that this is?
Well, you're trying to cut out the false start, right? But it's pretty noisy there, so you kind of understand it. And the other thing with false starts, it's like, it's not because you don't know the snap count, right? It's because the guy across from you is pretty good, and you're sitting there going, okay, I got to get a jump on this guy, right?
I can see that.
And you start too soon. So I would love if somebody could figure out how many false starts happen across from Micah Parsons.
Oh, that is a good question.
Because they're worried, right?
Yeah.
They know his speed, and they're trying to make sure they're right on that snap count, or and maybe even a little bit before, and then they get called. So I think sometimes that's what happens. The other thing, with holding, you're getting beat. It's not that you don't know how to block. It's you're getting beat,
yeah,
and you're grabbing on for dear life. So to me, I don't know how you fix that other than get better. But to me, that's when holding occurs. It's not sloppiness or anything. Same thing with pass interference. Why would a guy interfere with a wide receiver? Well, because I'm getting ready to get beat.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how you know, the only way to fix it is get better. And, you know, maybe you're not better.
Jerry talked a little bit about it this morning, but they're having Denzel Mims in for a workout at the Star.
Yeah.
He said they frequently have guys come in and work out. Do you find that often?
Tuesdays are usually the bring guys in for workout just to see where the possibilities are, if you need to sign somebody to the practice squad, or if you need to bring somebody in for, you know, some workout for the 53. So you kind of keep an eye on. I understand he lives here.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like, hey, can you jump in the car and come over here just in case, you know, we need to sign a wide receiver? But again, the guy's on his couch, right?
Yeah.
So And he's free for everybody. So it's like, yeah, you're just doing your due diligence. And, you know, they would routinely even do that in training camp, to bring guys in on like an off day to work them out. So he minimized the importance of it, I think, the way he answered the question. But again, you're just, you know, make sure you know what's out there if indeed you need to bring somebody in. And, you know, you say, okay, well, now Flournoy is my next guy to be in the game rotation with Cooks being out for at least another three games.
Yeah.
But what happens when the next guy gets hurt?
Yeah.
Now who am I turning to?
I'm concerned about that as well.
And yeah.
You brought that up with the defensive line, and I was just getting ready to say that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, okay, so now you brought in KJ Henry, and it's like you put him on, you know, it's like, well, he better get him ready to play because you're going to need him. And you're probably going to need to figure out how to get Carl Lawson on your 53.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just one guy, and then what happens? One of those guys gets hurt.
Yep.
And the way it's going, you better be ready at defensive end.
Because there aren't a lot of them out there, Kevin.
Yes. If you look, if you can hear the sound of our voices and you can play the defensive line, run, don't walk to the star in Frisco.
On Tuesdays.
I could remember one year the Cowboys were going through just so many injuries, and Larry Lacewell said, yeah, we ought to put the Statue of Liberty out in front of Valley Ranch and say, bring your, whatever the inscription is on, you know.
You're poor, you're tired, yes, you're yearning to be free.
We need you. We need you here.
Yes, I think we need to make that happen. Thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Mickey Spagnuolo right here. And you can check out his stuff at DallasCowboys.com. Now, some of these fantasy football triumphs are nice, but it feels like they're dominated today by the heartbreaks from the 4-3-2. God, this sucks. The Chiefs held Chris Olave to 3 points.
Yeah, they did.
Which gave me the win. But another guy in our league lost by 0.12.
Oh,
gut-wrenching.
I needed Olave to have a pretty significantly big night last night, and the Chiefs were like, not going to happen. They did not allow it last night, so I lost to Sean. I'm not doing too well in this year's fan league, but I'm back in action in my other league. So I'm really, after that Lamar Jackson trade, everything's looking
okay.
Up for me.
Okay, good, good, good. From the 4-6-9, thought I was going to lose because I had T. Higgins on the bench and he scored 29.2 points. I started Debo Samuel, who did nothing again, but luckily Derrick Henry, Diggs, and Worthy came through with solid performances. And our buddy Max, he said he thinks that if you put Garrett Wilson on your bench, Corey, you should retire from fantasy football. What do you think about that sick burn from Max?
I won by 60 points this week.
Wow.
So I'm
getting
nice. Must be nice. I appreciate you.
But. Okay. From the 817, I know nobody cares, but I lost a matchup last night by 1.3 points after Harrison Butker missed a field goal. I'm now 0-5, and the other guy is 5-0.
Oh, wow.
Dang.
That's tough. That is tough for you.
I'm in a different league where I won a matchup where the guy only had his defense left. He had the Saints, who scored -1. So I ended up winning by 1.2. So you have to think, I'm up by 0.2 going up into this. I'm screwed. And the Saints are like, ha ha, not so fast, my friend.
You know, a lot of times in those instances, I don't know if you do this, Alec, I'll pull the defense and not even play
them.
That's
smart.
Just take the, if I'm up and I know that I'm up by that, I'll just pull defense so I don't get negative points.
Yeah. This person was still down by 0.2. Mm. So I think they were like, well, I got to get it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But,
yeah.
But I think that is a very, very smart decision.
Yeah. Some people think it's bad. They're like, nah, bad form. I'm like, I don't care. I'm trying to win. I'm not
you
trying to
guarantee
lose.
You're going to win.
Yeah. What if one of my players gets hurt in the middle of a game and has 0 points? That's not bad form on me. That's a player that just got hurt. Now I'm screwed.
To me, it feels no different than just taking a knee.
Yeah.
Like, people don't go, oh, they quit on the game.
Yeah.
They took a knee to run out the clock when they were winning.
Not like I'm playing prevent defense, which is stupid.
Yeah. The only thing it prevents you from doing
is winning.
Exactly. Exactly. From the 6-8-2, I was down 40 points on Monday. I won by 10. Man, that Monday Night Football game, it used to be for the longest time, Monday Night Football was a big deal just because it was the only game, but also for betting purposes. Now, for a lot of people, it's the deciding moment in their fantasy football games on a week-to-week basis. From the 4-6-9, I also had Olave, and I lost by 7 points. I also had Olave, I lost by 8 points.
Olave screwed over a lot of people this week, dude. A lot of people.
It feels like they were all getting prepped for Chris Olave to bring them the victory.
Dude, I had in our league, one of the guys had Kirk Cousins and Drake London. And
wow.
Still lost. But he scored tons of points. The other guy just had a better week. I don't even know how it happened, man. It's crazy.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Deshaun Watson's competition for the worst NFL contract of all time. Plus, game-winning field goal equals boobs. Next on The Fan.
In Dallas.
Watson all day to look incomplete and then picked off. Intercepted by Trayvon Merrig after it bounced away.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Got a couple of different things to break down here. One, how a football victory equaled toplessness.
Huh?
But also, people will say, I will say, that Deshaun Watson is the worst contract in the history of the NFL. But what's the competition looking like? Like, let's really go through some of the other options. And if you want to throw out what you think was the worst Cowboys contract in history, I would certainly be willing to listen to that. So do you want to start with Deshaun Watson, terrible contracts, or toplessness?
Toplessness.
You know, I kind of figured that was going to happen.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about this after the harassment thing I had to take today, Kevin.
Look,
yeah, me too.
It was due today.
This is a voluntary. This is a voluntary toplessness by this gal.
Okay.
All right. So
still no jokes after though, or
I mean, you just took the seminar. Go with what your heart tells you. Let's go to. I don't know if that's the right thing
I
to
am
say.
Titillated.
Okay, that was definitely not the right thing to say then. Let's go to cut number 13. The Houston Texans have an opportunity to win this game.
Snap, placement, sweeps the leg, Fairbairn, it's gone! Clutch City, Houston!
Now, Fairbairn makes this kick, but before that happened, a gal on Twitch who does say that she's located in Dallas, it's at Sour Patch Kids X, she said that she would, and I quote, well, as much as I can, if the Texans win, she would show her tees, is how she described it. So let's just say boobs. The Texans did win. And she decided, I will, in fact, pay this off. Now, I made a mistake in not seeing what her follower count was when she first made this offer.
No, she did.
Oh, she did. But it was less than 50,000 because somebody in her comments was like, I bet you'll get up to 50,000 with this tweet. And she said, I doubt it. She is currently at 77,000 followers. So she gained at least 27,000 followers over this. And yeah, she just took her top off.
It's still there.
The Texans won. Is it?
Well, on Twitter.
Okay. So.
Not that I went looking. I was told.
Corey, you're looking at it right now, aren't you?
No.
It's research purposes.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the camera. Right?
It's for the show.
It's show prep.
Yeah.
You're being a good teammate, Corey.
Yeah.
I appreciate
good,
that.
Good job.
I'm totally not looking.
Now, this is going to be a weird transition.
Oh, there's two pictures.
This is gonna be a video.
That's a picture of like the limit reached of followers for that day.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. She's like, I'm trying to add more people. All right. What team did Deshaun Watson used to play for?
The Houston Texans.
Exactly. And that's how this is all weirdly connected. Because Deshaun Watson also reportedly settled his latest sexual assault lawsuit. Mm. Now, we've talked about this before. I've never been in a situation where anyone cared enough about me or I had enough money to try to like legally attack me over all these things. But we've heard from rich and powerful people. Sometimes it's just worth it for them to pay it to go away. Maybe that's what Deshaun Watson is going through. Maybe it's because he did something bad. I have no idea. But he did pay off and settle his latest sexual assault lawsuit. Now, to go along with that, there's this. Deshaun Watson has the literal worst EPA for quarterbacks in the NFL this season.
All right.
But where does his contract sit in terms of worst all time?
This.
Okay. Is there anybody that jumps to mind? And then I'll run down some of the...
Do rookie contracts count?
Because
I feel like...
I don't believe they are in this CBS article, or else Jamarcus Russell
would probably be
in there. So, no, I don't think so. Now, keep in mind how much the pay structure of the NFL has changed and changed rapidly. But I'm going to throw out one that we all thought might come to the Cowboys. Nnamdi Asamoah.
Oh, my gosh. That one, like, when it was announced, I remember this too, Kevin. When it was announced that the Eagles had won this bidding and there was all that chaos that went on that day, because we were still a weekend show, I believe, at the time. When it was announced, I was like, this is, how do you get beat by that?
Yeah.
But then he never performed.
Yeah.
Like, he never performed up to what that was. And he was a shutdown guy. I remember, like, specifically playing fantasy football. If I had a receiver that was going up against the Raiders, I didn't start them.
Yeah.
Because I knew that he would shut them down.
So Nnamdi Asamoah lasted two whole seasons with the Eagles. They said, hey, you're not good. We need to restructure your contract. And he said, pass. So they released him. He was with the 49ers for a hot second and then retired. So not even 3 years after he was the prize of the 2011 offseason, released off the board. I think that one is pretty bad. Carson Wentz, 4 years, $128 million, included $107 million guaranteed for Carson Wentz, who the next year went 3-8-1 and led the league with 15 interceptions.
Oh, man.
He lost his starting job to Jalen Hurts.
Whoops. Really? Yeah. And Jalen Hurts did just fine. So,
I mean, look, Jalen Hurts could eventually pop back up on this list. For now, though, he's good to go. Nick Foles. Nick Foles got a 4-year, $88 million contract because of the Super Bowl with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and it didn't really work out. But
yeah, he did win a Super Bowl. And then he had Peterson wasn't there. Okay, all right, yeah.
All right, I'm seeing lots of people with this answer. I like this. From the 817. Albert Haynesworth.
That's the one I was going to say.
Okay.
100 million, I think it was like 6 or 7 or 8 years, something like that.
I want you to consider Russell Wilson.
He stomped on Gerard's face.
Yes. I want you to consider Russell Wilson, Andre Rison, and Albert Haynesworth. Russell Wilson got 5 years, $245 million. He was 4-11 in his first season. They had the worst offense in the NFL, and their head coach got fired. He came back the next year and said, I will be better. I can be better, and I will be better. And he was.
Not in shape.
They went 7-8. So there's that. And then he got benched. So they didn't have to pay him even more money after also making the trade for him.
I remember him. I think it was that season he came back. He wasn't even in shape for the conditioning test. He couldn't make it through the conditioning test. I think they were like, you have to run so many times, 100 yards. And he was like, couldn't make it past three. And he was like, I quit. He quit before he was done. He was just like, I'm done.
From the 901, Deshaun Watson's definitely the worst contract or trade in NFL history. And then people focusing on the Cowboys, Roy Williams, Joey Galloway. I get that.
I thought Greg Hardy was a pretty awful one. $13 million. I think it was a 1 year $13 million, but the whole team fell apart that year. Everything fell apart.
Didn't
for
he
him.
Call Jason Garrett a B?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he did.
All right. Now,
that seems pretty bad.
Keep in mind, money used to be different in the NFL. Andre Rison, in 1995, got a 5-year, $17 million contract. I want you to think about this for a second. That made him the highest paid wide receiver of all time at $3.4 million per season. You have to move the decimal over to get in the conversation
what
to be the highest.
95. So in 30 years,
yeah,
we're at...
It's gone up 10 times.
Wow.
Now think about this. He lasted one season, had a robust 47 catches for 701 yards, and then he was gone. You brought up Albert Haynesworth. So did several other people. Albert Haynesworth got a 7-year, $100 million contract. In 2009, he played 12 games. He had 37 tackles. And 4 sacks. After that, he decided, you know what I really need to do? Not show up for off-season workouts and the physical, which is exactly what he did. And then he only played 8 games in 2007. And then he got sent away. So he played 20 games for $100 million. Now, I realize people will be like, well, it's guaranteed money. I understand all of that. But that is bad. However, they all pale in comparison because of the way the deal is structured. There's no way to escape the Deshaun Watson contract. Because as bad as he's been, and people are talking about benching him and stuff, the next 2 years, so 2025 and 2026, his salary cap hit $79 million per year. And you guaranteed the whole deal.
What were the picks included? Do you remember?
Ooh, they gave 3 first round picks, a third rounder, and 2 fourth round picks.
Okay.
So 6 picks.
All right.
Which is ironic for Deshaun Watson.
His nickname. Somebody threw Brock Osweiler in there.
Oh man, that's a good one.
He signed a 4-year, $70 million contract. The numbers here do not, like, that's 1 year of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Even less than 1 year. The contract was $37 million guaranteed for 3 years. But the picks, Kevin, the trade included the Browns receiving the Texans' 2018 second-round pick and 2017 sixth-round pick, while the Texans received a 17 fourth-round pick, and the Browns released Osweiler before the 17 season.
Oh,
they moved on from him before that even, like, the picks started even rolling in.
Yeah, there are lots of votes for the rookie wage scale, and they bring up Sam Bradford and Jamarcus Russell. I think Sam Bradford, I don't know how he feels about that, because on the one hand, he got all the money. But on the other hand, his contract was so offensive to the league that they changed the rookie wage scale. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the NFL has represented that and been like, yeah, that's pretty terrible. But he still got the money.
I agree with the person too. And I know, Kevin, this isn't a player and it's not necessarily the NFL. But Jimbo Fisher is the worst contract we've ever seen.
Disagree. Because
whoever A&M signed next?
No. Oh. But because you don't lose anything for that except the people's money that's not my money. Like with Deshaun Watson, you're screwed on the salary cap. For A&M, they probably just went to a whole bunch of other billionaires and were like, hey, we need more money again. All right, sounds good.
How long are they paying? Is it 10 more years of Jimbo Fisher?
No, it's not 10 more years. I think it's like 6 more years.
6 more years at $100 million a year?
Guess what?
Or something, I don't know.
They're still in the top 15.
How'd they do it? How do they do it?
Because they beat an overrated Missouri team. That's how we did it.
What's worse, Jimbo or the Mike Glennon deal in Chicago?
Oh man. Again, I'm going to say Glennon just because you have to deal with the repercussions of that.
For he played A&M, 8 games and they gave him $45 million.
For A&M, I just don't think they care. They're like, oh, well, sorry, guys. We're going to try to go buy a new coach and see if it works.
In his career, he played 40 games. He played 40 games and somehow was able to trick NFL teams into lots and lots of money.
Oh, Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn was terrible.
That's another good one. They're like, look how tall that guy is. He's got to be good at quarterback.
Does Broadus have some thoughts on that
one? I think Broadus does have Matt Flynn connection. Le'Veon Bell. Zeke's has come up a lot in terms of the Cowboys.
It's not that bad, though. At this point,
it did cost you the ability to sign Derrick Henry this year. That's how
you
much
you couldn't afford Derrick.
No, you could.
No.
Part of the reason you couldn't afford him is because you were still paying off the first part of Zeke's deal.
I didn't hear Jerry or Steven say that, Kevin.
Fine. I'll try to point blank ask them that specific question. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Let's talk Monday Night Football. But also, how is Joe Flacco still kind of good? Next on The Fan.
First down and goal to go at the 5-yard line of New Orleans. Number one red zone defense given off to Kareem Hunt. Following his blockers, he's into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. The middle again blown wide open. And the Chiefs score on their first offensive drive of the game.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy. Gridiron Gravy, of course, brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com.
Kevin.
Oh, do we have news?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, this is not News Desk Corey right now.
Okay.
But they are doing the announcement of the Grand Prix thing we discussed yesterday.
Oh, yeah, in Arlington?
And yes, Jerry Jones has reached out to DeMarcus Ware to ask him for defensive end help. And DeMarcus Ware laughed and then shook his head like, no, I can't. I'm not going to do that. But Evan Grant just posted a shot of the track. It's awesome, dude. Like this, you and I've been to a couple of NASCAR events and I've never really wanted to go to like these racing events like that, but it being around our stadiums and our stadiums are featured heavily there. This is awesome.
I know we're probably not famous enough yet. I just want to get interviewed by that British guy who sometimes thinks you're somebody else, you know? And he's like, hey, Pat Mahomes. And you're like, no, that's not. That guy seems very friendly.
But if you get a chance to check it out, I think is it Texas Live where they showed it? Yeah, it's Texas Live where they showed it. It looks really cool. And like I said, both of our stadiums are featured, and I'm sure Six Flags is going to be featured a little bit too. It looks really cool.
I know this would not be possible, but do you think like part of it should be, hey, then you pull into Six Flags, you have to run in and go on one of the roller coasters.
The lines are going to be so long.
Okay, but we'll clear out the lines for like three specific roller coasters. Right. And you have to go on one of them and then run back to your car and get in. And then
don't they have like the little race car track at Six Flags too? So you have to do that little track and then get back in your car?
I would love one of two things. Either to see an actual car trying to do that on that track and just smoke all these little kids. Or I think what I would really like to see is one of those IndyCar drivers in one of the go-karts that you get just stomping on the pedal. You're like, come on, you piece of junk, go faster.
I'm totally in on that. That's.
And then you're like, oh, back in the day I beat AJ Foyt. And you're like, I had the slow car. And you're like, I know. Everyone who's ever lost at go-karts, it's because they had the slow car. We know that's a fact.
Yep.
All right. Gridiron Gravy. Let's talk some Monday Night Football. The Chiefs win, and they are now 5-0. Interestingly enough, they have the lowest point differential for a 5-0 team, I believe, since the Jets 20 years ago.
Oh, man.
So it can go one of two ways, right? Either you look at the Chiefs and you're like, okay, Mahomes is having his worst statistical season. They're just barely eking these games out. and their red zone offense is terrible and they're undefeated. So what happens if they fix any or all of those things?
You're not beating them.
Yeah, the rest of the league's screwed. Or you might look at it and think it's indicative of what's going to kind of haunt them throughout the rest of the year and what will probably take them down.
Okay. I would agree with you if they were the type of team that just settled on that. They were the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. And I'm going to continue to say this. Any of the Cowboys that are listening right now, keep pushing yourself harder. Like, don't let up on this. You just got to a really good point here with your defense. Offensive line's got to be better. Everything still has to be better. Don't walk in, and I hope Mike Zimmer and Mike McCarthy every week, whenever they've done well enough, they find something to pick at and say, yeah, but we're not perfect yet. All right, that's what I hope for the Cowboys. That's what I think Andy Reid is. Yeah, we're winning, but we're still not good at this and this and this. And Mahomes is that type of character too. So I think when you have those type of characters around there, and you have that kind of culture in the organization, they know they got by, but they don't settle for that. So you say it might haunt them for the rest of the year. I think they'll work hard to try and fix it by the end of the year.
And if that's the case, then that is terrifying
for
the rest of the NFL. If you missed the news on Sean and RJ this morning, Robert Saleh was fired. Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator, will be the team's interim head coach. Now, another thing that has popped up with this, this is probably just protocol. Robert Saleh was escorted out of the building by the director of security. Didn't get to talk to his team or anything. Do you get that?
Yes.
Okay.
I do, but I also hate it because now he has to text his players from home and hope they reply back.
Do you put a group chat with everybody's phone number in there?
The ones you like. You're not Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
You're probably like, you know, hey,
thanks
all
for
the
getting me fired.
And they're like, hey, coach, you forgot Rodgers. And you're like, but like that is business, right? They don't want to have a Jerry Maguire situation where the guy's standing there in the middle of the locker room going, who's coming with me? And everybody's freaking out. So they're like, a lot of times businesses take you and escort you out as quickly as they can.
Have you ever seen that happen in real life? I would love to be a part of one of those conversations. Like, I don't think I'm going to leave, but I would love to, like, let's just say we're doing crosstalk today. Actually, today would have been a great example. And Bobby's like, that's it. I'm leaving. Who's coming with me? That would have been amazing.
Oh, wow. I really do like Bob. You know, like you're like, hey, this could be fun. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go?
Now, this could be potentially troubling.
And he's like, you complete me later, you know, and you're like, well, it's awkward.
I would love for him to say that to Sean. The headline on NewYorkJets.com when Robert Saleh was fired. Quote, Jets head coach Robert Saleh. There's still so much football to be played. The lead headline 15 minutes after Robert Saleh got fired. Quote,
oh man.
Jets head coach Robert Saleh. There's still so much football to be played.
It really is.
30 minutes after. It's still the same. It took them more than 30 minutes.
It's not a lie.
To put up the story that Robert Saleh got fired because he did, and their lead story was, there's still so much more football to be played. Let me ask you this then, Corey. Would you like it if, like, 2 minutes after that, they just put ... in the headline, but not for Saleh?
Yeah, because no matter where Robert Saleh is, job or no,
there's still
a lot of
football
to be played this year and next year and in the following years until the pig finally gets slaughtered, as Mark Cuban once said.
Sure.
But yeah, there's still lots of football to be played. And that's what all the coaches are going to say. Until there's not. And don't you love that last year Bochy told us, he was like, yeah, around September, there's not a lot of baseball time left. You know,
yeah.
He said this is around the time when, so you got to know.
Now, I'm going to give you a quote from Robert Saleh, and we've done this many, many times in the past. I'm going to let you decide which part of the quote is real and which part I made up.
Okay.
Jay Glazer reported that he talked to Robert Saleh.
Real?
And Saleh said he was blindsided by Jets owner Woody Johnson walking into his office and firing him today.
Real.
He went on to say, I guess I probably should have known because, you know, I saw the game that happened in London just like everybody else.
Real.
That part is not real. Oh. That is the part of the quote that I made up. A quick note for you about the team.
Was it the game in London, Kevin, or was it the moment, was it Thursday night football whenever, or Sunday night football when they had that awkward hug between him and Aaron Rodgers? That's the moment.
I could see that. They still think it was the second where it was like, we have a pre-snap issue. No, we don't. And you're like, oh, okay, crap. Great. Or you could go with this. The Jets thus far, 2-3. Last year was Zach Wilson, 2-3. The Jets are averaging 18.6 points per game. Last year through five games with Zach Wilson, 18.6 per game. It's exactly the same, and you subbed in Aaron Rodgers for Zach Wilson.
So it's the coach. I mean, it's got to be the coach then.
I mean,
what else could be the explanation? You got a better quarterback.
The quarterback, did you?
That's why you paid all that
Maybe
stuff
Maybe you
him.
Got a little bit of a better... Well, you did get a little bit of a better quarterback, but he is clearly not the person they thought they were trading for, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry about that.
And I think last year may have been the best opportunity for it. This year, after the injury that he had last year, it's never going to make a comeback.
Couple more quick things for you. Russell Wilson will be a full participant in practice tomorrow for the Steelers, so let's keep an eye on what exactly that's going to mean for their starting quarterback.
Unlimited.
For their quarterback situation. And then there's this. There's 32 quarterbacks who have enough pass attempts to qualify thus far in the NFL for passer rating for the season.
Did you say 32?
Yes.
Okay.
Number one, Joe Flacco.
He's good.
Number 32, Anthony Richardson.
He's not...
Okay, that's weird, right?
Which other team has had multiple quarterbacks this year?
Let's see, because it wouldn't
Bryce
be...
Bryce Young, Andy Dalton.
Oh, yeah, I could see Carolina.
Because most of his pass attempts would have been into the ground and not even considered.
That is fair. Do you think they look at that and go, well, should we go with the guy who's first?
Or 30
seconds. Or last.
Yeah.
Or do you think they're like, Joe Flacco has no future with this team? I'm asking. Are you shocked that Joe Flacco is like still around and still kind of matters in NFL football?
I think the most thing I was shocked about, Alec, if you agree with me, I think he ran like 20 yards and looked faster than Dak.
That is shocking.
Like, holy crap, Joe Flacco's burning out here.
Yeah, he's still got wheels, man. Why is he fun to watch in 2024?
I don't know.
You know what? You want to get angry again? Why is Joe Flacco fun to watch?
He's got some good weapons to throw to. I mean, Pittman, Pierce, that group of receivers is really good. Like, he picked the right spot to go to be a backup.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we go across the NFC East. All the teams won. Well, at least the ones who played. Next on The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.